Hey guys, thanks for joining us for this 151st episode in Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. Special guests on this episode include our good friend Brandon Lang. We'll be talking about college and NFL football picks over the coming weekend. We'll also visit with author and screenwriter Gabrielle St. George. She's got a new book, How to Murder a Marriage, The Ex-Whisperer Files No. 1, which is available now. We'll also talk about the new movie Poker Run with friend of the show, John Schneider. Poker Run will be available November 26th. Of course, if you would, please take the time to subscribe, comment, leave some feedback, check out the shop, and of course, share with your friends. Well, 3 years ago, a 94-year-old woman died in a house fire in England. And at the time, it was thought to be an accident because the woman was a heavy smoker who suffered from dementia. But tragically, it turns out that the fire was set by her then 18-year-old step-grandson, and he was caught because he admitted to it. Well, sort of. He confessed to it during a game of Truth or Dare. He allegedly said, "I have a secret I haven't told anyone. I may have killed someone." He also told a counselor about it, and that's when the case was reopened. It was intentional. He used a lighter to set the curtains on fire and disabled a smoke alarm so that the blaze would go undetected. He later claimed that he did it because he didn't want the woman to continue to suffer from dementia. He was found guilty in court this past week, and he'll be sentenced next week. Every week we visit with our friend Brandon Lang. Of course, you know him from BrandonLang.com. Also the host of the best damn sports betting pod, period. And first off, Brandon, always great to visit with you, my friend.
Absolutely. You know, with college basketball here, it's my favorite sports handicap. Found me a nice juicy one last night with San Jose State at home getting 6 from Cal Fullerton. Tim Miles, who's at Nebraska via Colorado State. Got 4 transfers coming in. Surprised they were getting 6, and they ended up winning the game outright 78-76. They were a perfect 3-0 in college basketball, and it's my favorite sport to handicap, and now it's just nirvana. College football, college basketball, NBA, NFL, you got it all going every day. Set back and get ready to roll.
That's right, and a big weekend college football. Let's look at that first. What intrigues you from this weekend's matchups?
Michigan on the road at Penn State. I just cannot get over that Michigan's only laying 1.5. It's a Penn State team that lost at home to Illinois. I mean, really? Michigan is literally 2 broken plays away against Michigan State from being the number 2 ranked team in the BCS standings, and staring down the barrel of a win over Ohio State puts them in the national championship semifinals. I don't know what Penn State has to play for. They lost to Illinois. They lost to Ohio State. They can't get in the Big Ten championship game. The season's over, and Michigan has everything to play for. If you can't beat Illinois at home, I just don't see you being able to step up and beat this Michigan team. So I like Michigan a lot. Georgia State plus the points over Coastal Carolina. McCall, the quarterback for Coastal Carolina, is out. Georgia State went into Louisiana Lafayette, the best team in the conference, and gave them a huge scare. Like the way Georgia State's playing right now. They're getting 21. I'm going to go against Coastal. This backup quarterback certainly is not McCall, and I'll look for Georgia State to hang in there and keep it close. And of course, last but not least, this kid Strong out of Nevada is getting a lot of pub, moving up the draft board. They're at San Diego State getting 2.5. Love Nevada plus the points. They have 2 losses this year, at Fresno State by 2, at Kansas State. And other than that, they've been rock solid all year. Better team, getting points, the better quarterback, Nevada, plus the points over San Diego State.
And Brandon, along the lines with college football, any thoughts on where the CFP stands right now?
Well, it's Georgia and everybody else. I think Oklahoma's going to lose to Oklahoma State. That'll knock them out. I believe Ohio State's going to run the table and probably end up being number 2. Alabama is probably going to lose to Georgia, and then there'll be 2 losses. They'll be out. Cincinnati, they got to be careful. They get SMU and then East Carolina. At East Carolina, who's playing out of their mind, I just get the feeling that Cincinnati's going to drop the game at East Carolina. They just don't look right to me. But if they do get through that and play Houston in their conference championship game, if Cincinnati wins out, they're going to be in the Final 4. granted, they'll be number four, and they're probably going to get blown out by Georgia, which is a rematch of the bowl game last year. But it literally is Georgia and everybody else.
Leading into the weekend, NFL-wise, Dolphins over the Ravens. What's your big stuff on the NFL side this weekend?
It just cracks me up that these NFL head coaches will say after a game, you know, this loss is on me. I didn't have my team ready to play. And we gotta coach better. It kills me that there's 52 weeks in a year. An NFL coach has 17 regular season games. He's got 17 weeks to do his job. 17 weeks is all you're asking. And for a coach in the NFL to sit there and say, I didn't have my team ready to play. Well, geez, John, what were you doing, bud? What were you doing? Were you just not sitting in your office watching Netflix on your laptop? You're making $3-4 million a year, John. How do you not have Lamar Jackson prepared to go against the zero blitz? If they're doing it in the first quarter, they're going to do it in the fourth quarter. We can't get somebody to the middle of the field? Unreal. I didn't touch that game. I said, forget that. Baltimore had outscored Miami in their last three meetings, 121-19. And to put up that kind of performance with your coaching staff and your offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, should be fired this morning. As bad as that was. So it just goes to show you got to be careful in the NFL. It's a minefield. So this week, I like the Raiders at home plus the points over the Chiefs. Listen, the Chiefs should have lost to the Giants on Monday night. They should have lost last week to Green Bay. Now they're going on the road laying points to the Raiders. Love the Raiders at home plus the points. I don't know why people like Cleveland this week. You're looking at a Patriots team that is playing lights out. Should have beat Dallas in that overtime loss. Went out to L.A. and beat the Chargers, dominated Carolina. Now they're coming back home and facing a Browns team that, yeah, they look good against Cincinnati, but somebody ought to call 911 and send the police to Cincinnati Stadium and have the coach, Zach Taylor, arrested for stealing. He is flat-out stealing money as bad as he is as a head coach. So I like the Patriots at home minus 2.5. And then I'm going to the Dallas-Atlanta game, little daddy-daughter date, flying into Dallas, got great seats. Going to see AT&T Stadium for the first time. And I'm going to take Atlanta plus the 10 over Dallas and look for Dallas to win, but for Atlanta to cover.
There you go. Well, again, you can visit online at BrandonLang.com. Brandon, I want to give you a chance to talk about some of the website offerings as well.
Yeah, college basketball 3-0. My other handicappers are doing great. Just with gambling being legal, somebody's always got the hot hand. It's a great place to stop by and pick your favorite handicapper and win some money. I have always prided myself on college basketball and to come out of the box 3-0 Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we got another nice, juicy one tonight to go to 4-0 before it's back to college football on Saturday. So BrandonLang.com, good place to start.
That's right. And, of course, the podcast, the best damn sports betting pod, period. Want to make sure and let folks know about that as well, Brandon.
Yeah, we took the week off this week. My co-host, Danny, was out of the country, but we'll have another one coming up this week that'll be as entertaining as you could ask for.
That's right. Well, again, check him out at BrandonLang.com. And Brandon, always good to visit with you, brother. Here's to a successful weekend.
Thank you, brother.
Do want to say thanks to our sponsor of today's episode, our good friends at Smiley's Breezy Vapes, located at 313 Falcon Road. Stop in for Wacky Wednesday, where they spin the wheel for savings, and Super Saturdays, where they've got disposables, buy one, get one half off. They've always got new hardware and the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma. That's Smiley's Breezy Vapes, 313 Falcon Road in Altus. Give them a call at 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. Now here's a weird story for your day. A cow in Brazil that was set to be slaughtered escaped from a farm, went down a water slide, and won its freedom. It happened last Saturday in a town 500 miles west of Rio. The cow wandered onto the grounds of a club that's right next door to the farm. The club had a swimming pool with a big curved water slide. Well, the cow climbed up a set of stairs to the top, went halfway down the slide, and stopped. Now, it just stood there for a while, and there is also video of it. Now, it happened at 8:30 in the morning, and employees at the club were just getting to work. So they found it, and their boss actually thought they were joking when they told him. They ended up coaxing the cow down the slide and into the pool, and it wasn't hurt. The president of the club says he was surprised that the slide didn't collapse because the weight limit is around 450 pounds and the cow weighs closer to 700. The farmer says the cow was supposed to head to the slaughterhouse soon, but won't anymore. He's a local celebrity now, and people keep coming to see him. So he'll get to live out the rest of his days as a pet instead of his livestock. And they even named him. His name is Toboga, which is the Portuguese word for slide. A new book to talk about, and this interview is been kind of a Murphy's Law kind of thing, getting this one in, but we've got author Gabrielle St. George with us today, and first off, Gabrielle, it's a privilege to have the chance to visit with you. Glad we got it together this time.
Yeah, Cameron, thank you so much for having me on. I'm thrilled, and yeah, fingers crossed we get through the whole interview this time without my weather or whatever it was interfering.
Now, when we originally had this, was pre-released. Now that the book is out there and about, what's it like getting the feedback, How to Murder a Marriage? I just want to talk the feedback first, then we'll go into kind of the inspiration behind it.
Yeah, so it's just been out for 2 days, and it's just been insane. It's so good. Just like wonderful, wonderful reviews and crazy levels of support. And I've been super chill about the whole thing. And I didn't know if I would be, but even the few weeks leading up to it, I was just really, really chill. I just had done my best with everything I could do. And it was just like out of my hands. And I was fine with that. And it's just been, I keep feeling surprised because it just is so lovely. And then I got emails today that were sent to my publicist that she forwarded to me of just like people in the States, American women who are just like, wow, this is really resonating with me. And I don't feel represented in books, you know, and I love to read and I do feel that with yours. So, you know, I'm super pleased. Yeah, it's been beautiful.
Now, what was the original intent behind the book, How to Murder a Marriage, where this came from for you?
To get revenge on my ex-husband without winding up in jail, maybe, kind of, without winding up in court. I have loved mystery since I was reading Nancy Drew Under the Covers as a kid, and that just never went away. And I'm a screenwriter, and I worked pretty much mostly for shows like police shows, detective shows, things like that. And that's always been my jam. So I just never got around to like writing a book, which seemed like climbing Everest to me before I did it. But then I did it and I was like, wow, I can do this because I like reading short and I like screenplays because they don't take as long as a book,
right.
But I'm right now in the second draft of, or the first draft of the second book, which is due terrifyingly in 3 weeks. So I basically won't sleep for the next 3 weeks. And it's like, man, I'm climbing Everest all over again. And it is awful and I hate it. So yeah, it's long. I don't love long.
What was the biggest challenge on the first write? And what have you learned from that on the second write that you're doing now?
With a screenwriting background, it's all about outlining and structure and plotting. And, you know, you start with, you know, a treatment that can be a few pages to, you know, more pages long, and it gets approved by 50 different people and get all their notes. And then you do an outline and that gets approved in notes and try and make everyone happy. And then every single scene is broken down into beats. So by the time you go to write, you really know where you're going. And if you kind of go, you know, color outside of the lines, you have to explain yourself. And with the book, I did go at it, the first one, with a, you know, a pretty decent outline, not, you know, scene by scene, but, pretty good outline. And I just didn't stick to it. And it was such a shock to me. And it was really more like the characters who are probably the best part of the book, really to just kind of come to life and take over. And I was basically the stenographer, just like writing down what they told me to write down. And I didn't want to do that with book two because I'm just so much more comfortable having an outline. And so I had an outline and it's going down the toilet too. It's like the characters are, telling me what to do. And I'm like under the gun now with the deadlines. I'm like, okay, hurry up, tell me more. So it's just been that kind of experience. So with this book, second book, to answer your question, I think I'm letting it flow more, which is hard for me. But yeah, just trying to kind of go with it and you know, be flexible from scene to scene and killer to killer and all that.
Did you ever have block while you were writing the first one?
I actually had a deadline and had to write the first one really fast. And I am a fast writer. This book I've had more blocks with, and I don't think it's the, you know, the whole idea of the fear of a second book that the first one is well received and then you're afraid you can't do it again. I have the same level of fear I have with the first one that I can't write a book. But yeah, I just, the blocks, I kind of don't allow myself blocks. I do allow myself to stare out the window for hours, but then I'll make myself stay up all night to make up for it. So if I'm blocked, like within that 24 hours, I have to get myself out of it.
Now, as you're writing, what do you find out about yourself each time that you write? Does the writing bring out things that you maybe didn't realize before?
So much more rage than I realized was inside. I am so creative with the scary shit. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. Probably need to find a therapist.
That's awesome. Now, who were the folks that really inspired you to the idea of writing a book? Yeah, like you said, you've been doing screenwriting, and I know it's a totally different process.
Yeah, it's a different language. And I think more lifestyle dictated my desire to focus on novels. When I did most of my screenwriting was before I had my kids, and then still did it when they were young and then older, but it's really hard. Years ago, it was easier to do more freelance stuff. And now pretty much every show has like, you know, a writer's room and a staff that does everything aside from very little freelance. So you have to be where the shows are being shot. And I live on a farm and I moved a few months away further out, a few hours out of Toronto. But even when I was in the city, I wasn't in the city. So just that commuting and super long hours, which I never minded. I love the industry. So 8-hour weeks were okay with me, but not when you have kids, like they can't remember who's my mom. So, you know, it was more a lifestyle thing because I can write a book from anywhere. My kids all live overseas now, and I'm going there in a couple of weeks for a few weeks, and I can work from anywhere, and it's ideal for me. And it's also this, screenwriting and novel writing is really like two different languages, like speaking English and speaking Mandarin, you know? And also I found the industries, which are both super tough, but also I found the publishing community so supportive, which isn't really, it's a little more cutthroat, a little more sharky in the, you know, film and television world, but and I'm sure that's out there. Maybe I've just been lucky with the book writing world, but man, the support and between authors, like promoting each other's work. It's like, no one's afraid that you're going to get their piece of the pie. It's like, there's infinite pies and lots to go around, and that's been really refreshing and beautiful, and I've really enjoyed that.
What's the biggest difference you see from the readers as opposed to viewers? What's the biggest difference you see from feedback?
Well, it's funny because I actually have, like, happily, surprisingly, have been approached already by a couple of production companies in LA. For, you know, possible optioning the book for series. So that's really fun. I had a few meetings. And I think in the readers of the book are loving that the main character is a woman turning 50 and a newly empty nester, newly divorced, a new solo life and reinventing herself and relaunching. And that's what was super fun. And weirdly, it's not really out there, not in a mystery series. Like, that character just doesn't exist. So I wish there would be more, and I hope more female writers write them, but it seems to be a novelty, and that's been the response to that's been amazing. But the flip side, in the meetings with the television production companies, the first thing they're saying is, we love your character. We love your character. We're going to make her younger though. It's like, no. So, I would say that there haven't been that many readers yet. It's only been out 2 days. And there have been no viewers because of my stuff, because it hasn't happened yet. But it seems that if the production people are correct, that that would be the difference. The viewers would want a younger cast and star. And the book readers are loving that she's a middle-aged woman and vibrant and vivacious and courageous and out in the world and doing cool stuff.
That's cool. And again, the book, How to Murder a Marriage, The Ex-Whisperer Files, number one, by Gabrielle St. George. And I want to make sure and let our listeners know not only where they can find more about the book, but everything you've got going social media-wise and the upcoming works as well.
Sure. So my website is my name, GabrielleSt.George.com. And the books, print copies and ebooks are available everywhere books are sold, Amazon and Barnes and Noble and Walmart and you name it. And they're out of stock in places, but hopefully, you know, fingers crossed that supply chains pick up and everything's cool. But yeah, reach out and find me online. I'm on Instagram and Facebook. And yeah, love to hear from readers.
All right. Well, Gabrielle, it has been great to visit with you. And hey, we made it all the way through. If anything goes technically wrong now, we could save it.
We could do it. So good. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me on. It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Do want to say thanks to our sponsor of today's episode, our good friends at Smiley's Breezy Vapes, located at 313 Falcon Road. Stop in for Wacky Wednesday, where they spin the wheel for savings, and Super Saturdays, where they've got disposables, buy one, get one half off. They've always got new hardware and the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma. That's Smiley's Breezy Vapes, 313 Falcon Road in Altus. Give them a call at 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. Is age really just a number? Or is that something old people say to make, well, their old wrinkly selves feel relevant? In a new survey of people 65 and up, 72% said they feel younger than they are. Half said they feel younger than 50. And getting older isn't all bad. 84% said that they've more or less embraced the aging process. And the average age that you stop caring so much about it is 43. According to the poll, here are the five best things about getting older. Number one, having more free time. 64% agreed with that one. Not having kids around anymore can definitely free your days up. Number two, retiring. Number three, being able to relax more. Number four, spending more quality time with your family. And number five, speaking your mind and not caring what other people think.
This is the first time we've actually had the opportunity to see while we're doing an interview. Our good friend John Schneider, actor, singer, producer. He's got so many slashes there. It's good to see you, my friend.
Well, hey, I'm glad to be here. Yeah, look at this technology. Now we're able to see each other. It's pretty darn cool.
It is.
I'm so excited about Poker Run. Really, you know me well enough to know that in my heart and soul, I'm about 7 years old. And I love Smokey and the Bandit. I love being on the Dukes of Hazzard and driving the General Lee and being the guy that jumped the car. And when we did our first, what we call Southern Horsepower comedy, 3 years ago now, it was called Christmas Cars. And Christmas Cars did great. And it was my wife who said, you know, John, hello, get in the car. Get a camera and drive like a bat out of hell and people will watch it. So that's what we did. And people did, they watched it. And then the dear friend, Burt Reynolds passed away and he and I had spoken for years about why in the world did the whole genre of what we call Southern horsepower comedy go away and who was going to bring it back? Well, he said, you know, really the only person with the history and the pedigree who really understands the recipe was me. And what a wonderful compliment that was. He said that, as did Hal Needham. Both of those gentlemen said that. So when Bert passed away, Alicia and I talked about doing something to honor him, and that kind of morphed into Stand On It, which is a tribute to Smokey and the Bandit, dedicated not only to Burt Reynolds, but also to Hal Needham. And Hal wrote and directed Smokey and the Bandit. Great stunt guy, stunt coordinator. So that movie did incredibly well for us last year. And in our world, we're completely independent. We write the movies, we record the music, we film the movies. We also distribute them ourselves. So we have no aspirations to do all that work and then try to get into business with people that we don't agree with. And believe it or not, that's kind of the model. People dream, they mortgage their house, they get their uncle to invest $25,000, they get their friends to invest money, they make a movie they're proud of, and then they sell it to some company like Netflix, who never gives you another dime, who also is one of the largest distributors of, I'm going to say, trash on the planet. So why would I dream so that eventually some person I don't agree with can take it away? Why would I do that? So Stand On It made so much money that it paid for itself and made it so we could make Poker Run. So once again, we are all in. We're always all in.
Yeah, right? You're always all in everything you do.
Yeah, because there's a line in the movie, if you're not all in, you're out. Kind of like Ricky Bobby, if you ain't first, you're last. And we quote Ricky, we quote Talladega Nights in this movie too.
I caught that.
But, so this one, only I checked, I think 9 people have seen Poker Run now. It's not out yet. So that means a couple of the members of the cast, a couple of members of the crew have actually seen Poker Run. And every one of them has said, John, it's like I'm in the car there with you. So I think this is going to be so successful that not only will it pay for itself, and make it so we can do the next movie, which is called Double or Nothing. But it might actually put a little jingle in our pockets and help us to be able to rebuild after the Hurricane Ida came through a month and a half ago. So I am so excited. It's 2 weeks from today that Poker Run will be available. We do have a group of people. They're called the 01 Lifers and the Bo 1 Lifers. They will be getting a code where they will be able to preview it a week before.
Wow, that's cool.
So so it's exciting for me to get the movie out there for them because I want their input. It's too late for me to change anything, but I'm writing the next one now. So it's just great. I'm 61 years old, and I feel like I'm 8.
That's awesome.
Alicia calls me her forever 4-year-old.
Take that.
And that's a good title to have.
Yeah, exactly.
Better than grumpy old man, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of 61-year-old grumpy old men, so I'm glad to see you're not that guy.
Yeah, no, not that way. So I'm very excited. That's what's sitting there on the here. People can see us, right?
Yes, they can.
Here, check. Just this little bit. The only thing missing in this one, I wish that when I see that, I wish I had somebody go, maybe in the next one.
I was totally when I was watching, every time I watch the trailer, it takes me back to the Cannonball Run, that kind of stuff. And man, those like you said before, those were the heydays.
Yeah, people want to be involved in what's going on the screen. They want to feel like they're in the car. They want a hero. And a hero is somebody that looks at danger in life and goes, ha, is that all you got? And, you know, kind of like, bring it on. And I remember so well what seeing Smokey and the Bandit for the first time, how I felt when I saw that car, that Trans Am for the first time. My God, I would have given anything in the world to have had that car. Just like 2 years later, people would give anything in the world to have a General Lee. Well, in this world, my car is. Oh, come on, John, where is it? My car is very cool.
Yes, it is.
My car is that car. It's a triple black, gold pinstripe, gold Phoenix Rising with a rebel flag in one talon, an American flag in the other talon, and an 01 in its eye. T-top Challenger. They don't make a T-top Challenger. But I have a feeling after this movie, they may. I think they may. There was a little buzz around Stan on it with regard to, wow, where'd you get that car? Well, we took a Sawzall to it in the driveway. That's where we got that car. This is another one. So now we have two. This one was done by some friends, some car fabricators in Oklahoma.
Oh.
That did a much better job on the whole T-top conversion. But they're cut out. They don't exist. So if it's raining, you can't put the T-tops back in because there aren't any. When it's raining, you do this.
Yeah. you stop shooting is what you do.
Yeah, well, sometimes there's a couple of shots in here you'll see where there's water on the windshield. Because we do a combination of green screen and just for convenience sake. And then I'm also in the car. I went out, and nowadays that's so easy. So I went out and had my script on the seat, very much like when we did Dukes of Hazzard. When we first started, before we started doing the rear screen projection stuff, we would just go out. We'd have two or three cameras on the General Lee, and Tom and I would just go out and drive with our script and do all the dialogue from that episode.
That's
so
cool.
That was a habit that I grew into back in the late 70s and early 80s. So I carried that over to this. So there's a lot of it, like the angles you just saw is me out there just doing it, which I think is great. It adds an energy to it, and it really does make you feel like you're right in there in the passenger seat with me. So it's very exciting. And nobody's making movies like this.
No. Not at all.
I don't understand. And when they try, when they make a car movie, I mean, obviously the Fast and the Furious franchise has made over $1 billion. It's done really, really well. But it doesn't have the fun.
Right.
You know, it doesn't have the, you don't want to go out and do what they did. You don't want to go in a C5A and drive a Mustang out the back of it or something or whatever it was they did. Because they crossed the line into doing such spectacular things that the audience knows they can't be done. So they know they're not watching something that's remotely real. In our movies, everything we do, we do.
Right.
When we have a 1978 Freightliner tractor running around a dirt track, if there's a guy driving it and sliding through the corners, you know, turning right to go left and all that stuff. We really do it, and you can tell. So I'm so anxious for people to see this movie. I think that Christmas Cars was a triple. Stand on It was a home run. This one, I think, is going to be a grand slam. I really do. I really, really do.
And of course, John, everybody knows your love of music as well. And I know you've got music tied in with this and also in the cast. I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about some of the cast members you've got that joined in on this project as well.
Oh, yeah. We've got Cody McCarver. Cody was with Confederate Railroad for years. Great singer-songwriter. And we also have Keith Burns. Keith Burns was with Trick Pony. He's fantastic. He plays kind of a jerk in the bar. He's a great jerk, a great jerk. But Cody and I wrote some songs for the movie. Keith and I wrote some songs for the movie. Cody, Keith, and I wrote the title song, Poker Run, for the movie. So that was great. We recorded all that in Nashville. We have Mindy Robinson, who was in Christmas Cars as a blonde and in Stand On It as a redhead. I'm sorry. Yeah, as a redhead. And she's in Poker Run. We have Dion Baia, who is on Fox News. And I got to know Dion. Tyrus from the Greg Gutfeld show is in Stand On It in a little bit. But kind of a spoiler. I don't want to spoil too much of it. But we had COVID scheduling Fox issues. So we went another very interesting way with one of my favorite actors of all time here in Louisiana. His name is Dane Rhodes. Dane was in the first movie I did here called Smothered. Dane was in Inadmissible. Dane was in Anderson Bench. Dane was in Like Son. Dane has been in everything we've done except Christmas Cars. And he's phenomenal. And he didn't know he was going. We didn't know that we were going to have to go a different way until the morning or until the evening before we were shooting.
Wow.
So it was, hey, Dane, you want to what are you doing tomorrow? So we have a great line. It's in the trailer. I say, who the hell are you? And the guy says, he looks down and says, Tyrus couldn't get out of his gig with in New York. So he called me this morning. Go with it.
I saw
okay?
that.
Okay. So, you know, what can you do? But in the independent filmmaking world, you've got to roll with the punches. And I think actually it winds up being far more, this is a way overused word, but far more organic because of it. So now I'm in the process of writing the third one, and that's called Double or Nothing. And my hope for that is to have Dane and to have Tyrus in the same movie at the same time, because all of a sudden he could do it. So we'll start that movie out like, well, you know, who's going to be Papa? Oh, here he is. Here's Dane. Well, wait a minute. No, that's Tyrus. Tyrus, where's Dane? He's in the trunk. So we're going to use what could have been a really unfortunate piece of bad timing. We're going to use it as to our advantage. So that's the plan.
That's awesome.
And that's what we did with Poker Run. So it's great. Who else do we have in there? We've got Marcus Milton. I'm sorry, Marcus Dupree.
Marcus Dupree.
Marcus Milton is another friend of mine. Marcus Dupree is in it in the beginning. And how that happened is Marcus and I had just done a movie. We filmed on the Natchez Trace, a period piece. And he said, you know, I live in Louisiana. I said, you want to be in a movie? And he said, sure. And I said, okay, I'll call you. And I called him like 2 days later. He showed up on the third day, and he's in the movie as well. There's a wonderful gentleman who is a black Confederate soldier whiz. He's an educator. He educates people about the Civil War, and a part of the Civil War that no one really has any idea about. His name is H.K. Edgerton. And H.K. is in this movie as well. And he says in it, you know, we're going to teach a little actual factual history to these youngins. So the movie doesn't get political, but it does go there, because that's an important thing that I want people to just consider and wonder about. Noodle on the fact that there were black Confederate soldiers for a moment. Noodle on the fact that H.K. Edgerton is probably the only man who will stand to protect a Confederate monument. The last time he did it, he stood there for 40 days.
Wow.
So there's certainly something to it worth educating yourself about. So we put him in there. He's delightful. He came out, was great. So I think that people are really going to love this movie. It's got cars, it's got fantastic music, it's got humor. We have Civil War reenactors in it. I mean, everything. And we even make fun of the elephant in Smokey and the Bandit, too. Because, you know, between you and I and the fence post, Smokey and the Bandit, too, was not great.
No.
Not great. But there's a point in it where I say, I'm in my elephant now. And Cody yells out the window and says, just had to go there, didn't you? And I said, I had to figure out some way to get the elephant in here. So we do a little nod to that. Because Dom DeLuise was a dear friend of mine as well. But I think in the next one, we'll at least have somebody go, dun, da, da. But that'll be it.
That's awesome. That is cool.
You know, there's a fine line between funny and silly. And I don't believe we crossed that line in this movie. There's one spot where Dion is doing something so funny that I'm laughing, kind of like Tim Conway or Harvey Korman on the Carol Burnett show. And I left it in there just because I thought, you know, this is just such a natural occurrence. And the audience has to be laughing with what Dion just did anyway. So I left it in. And I'm a big Carol Burnett fan.
Oh, yeah.
And had the great pleasure for a number of years of playing in a poker game with Harvey Korman. So
wow,
it's great to be able to go back and really pay tribute to dear relationships I've had over these last 40 years. And have such a great time doing it and get to drive about the coolest car anybody's ever seen.
I was going to say, it's easy to look like you're having fun when you're enjoying what you're doing.
I just posted something on Facebook. It's a picture from this. And I put on there, I said, it should be illegal to have this much fun. I said, oh, that's right. It is. So that's on my Facebook in the T-Top Challenger. And, you know, another thing about the way we make these movies is we very seldom have permission from anybody anywhere.
Oh,
we just kind of show up. You know, we show up with a couple of cars, a couple of cameras. But I am a deputy, so I do wind up. I'll go find a police officer. I'll go find a deputy and I'll say, hey, you're the guy. I said, yeah, we're going to be, you know, if anybody calls and says, some kids are cutting donuts over in the dirt road over there. It's me. Just kind of slow down or just look the other way altogether. And most of the time, it's fine. So it's really great to be bringing this kind of movie back. And because of the way we film it, people are saying, the nine people who've seen it are saying that it has an immediacy about it. It has an energy about it that really makes it seem as if the whole thing happened in the, I think it's 93 minutes, the 93 minutes it takes to watch it. And that's important too. You know, movies, I was taught a long time ago that it's better if a movie ends 5 minutes too soon rather than 5 minutes too late. Right? So it's kind of like being on stage. It's best to leave one song too early than one song too late. and hopefully what this is going to do is this is going to make it so when the movie is over, people will just, they'll be like, what? I can't wait for Double or Nothing, which will mean we'll have a bigger audience even for that.
That's good. Now, John, I always want to make sure and let our listeners and our viewers as well know where to find all the information about this one, about Stand On It, about everything you've got going on. You can get the music and everything all in one place.
Yeah. Well, the easiest thing to do, if you're into ease, then go to the App Store and get my app. It's called John Schneider. Plain and simple. There are buttons on there that'll take you to Cineflix to watch the movies. It'll take you to John Schneider Studios, the studio store here. It'll take you to the music. It'll take you to the dirt track schedule. We also show this movie at drive-in movie theaters. So anything you could possibly want to know is included in the app. And there's also a little scratch-off section. You can do it only once every 4 hours, but you can scratch off and maybe win a T-shirt or maybe win tickets to a drive-in if you're near where we're showing the movie. So that's the easiest way to do it. If you don't want another app on your phone, or if you just don't like apps, you can go to johnschneiderstudios.com, and that's where you can buy the DVD, of any of these movies we're talking about. But really, the app is the easiest way, and it's fun. I have it on my phone. It's how I know where to show up for my next concert.
I like it. I like it. Well,
yeah,
John, it is always great to visit with you, sir. Like, you know, I've been a fan of yours.
Oh, thank you.
To develop the relationship that we have the last few years, it's been awesome. I appreciate you always giving us time, and look forward to our next visit, brother.
Me too. You take care. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving. Have a Merry Christmas. Folks, get a hold of Poker Run. We are independent. I do appreciate each and every purchase. It comes to us so we can make the next one. Doesn't go to somebody in Hollywood that you and I both disagree with. It comes right here, and we put it right to work. Because like we said, if you ain't all in, you're out, right?
Couldn't have said it better myself. Good to see you, brother.
Good seeing you. You take care, and here's to the future.
Do want to say thanks to our sponsor of today's episode, our good friends at Smiley's Breezy Vapes, located at 313 Falcon Road. Stop in for Wacky Wednesday, where they spin the wheel for savings, and Super Saturdays, where they've got disposables, buy one, get one half off. They've always got new hardware and the largest selection of disposable flavors in Southwest Oklahoma. That's Smiley's Breezy Vapes, 313 Falcon Road in Altus. Give them a call at 580-471-VAPE. That's 580-471-8273. If you're hosting Thanksgiving in a couple of weeks, here are five things you should do now to make sure things run smoothly. First off, you need to pick your recipes. You need to decide what you'd like to cook and make a shopping list. It gives you plenty of time to track down family recipes and get input on any dietary restrictions that people might have. Number two, buy or order your turkey. It's one thing you definitely don't want the store to be out of if you wait too long. Just be sure to give yourself enough time to defrost it. Number three, buy your shelf-stable goods. With all the supply chain issues we've been hearing about, it's a good thing to be ahead of a grocery store this weekend to pick up the stuff that will last until Thanksgiving. You know, things like canned pumpkin, canned cranberry sauce, stuffing mix, marshmallows, and beverages. Number four, find all your tools and tableware. Find what you'll need to cook and host people, like the fat separator you only use once a year. And number five, clean up. This means going through and organizing your pantry and refrigerator before all the Thanksgiving items start piling in. And here's another people often overlook: clean your oven. Well, thanks again for joining us for this 151st episode of Season 2 of Good Questions with Cameron Dole. And if you ever have a comment, a question, or anything else you'd like to know, you can hit me up on the contact page at gqwithcam.com. You can also find me on the socials, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and Facebook at GQ with Cam. If you'd like to help out in the funding for this podcast, you can visit our merch store, where we've got hoodies, shirts, stickers, mugs, and more. That's gqwithcam.com/shop. And if you have a special guest idea, just email me, Cameron@gqwithcam.com. Well, thanks again to our good friend Brandon Allen for coming up with our theme music. We're going to let him play us out and hope you guys have a great rest of your weekend.